Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Every once in a while,
we gotta f*** the religious people.
There are 720 churches in Charlotte. I'm sure we can find one where you can stuff your face.
Shut up.
Quit pointing out the problem.
Men will be proud, arrogant, abusive. You watch some of today's rock star pastors, and you will see every characteristic Paul listed played out in vivid detail on the church stage.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Apparently, somebody turned the page. This is Wretched Radio. If you go back in time to study philosophical history in Western civilization, there is little debate that we have experienced different philosophical chapters. And most people who study history are able to approximately pinpoint when a society goes from mainly thinking like this to now thinking like that. Of course, it's a process. There are some events that turn the pages quicker than others, but we do know that there are indeed seasons when the entire civilization changes the way that it processes reality. If you go back to the year of our Lord, when he died, when he rose again, all the way to give or take 1400, you're dealing with what we would call the pre-modern era. The Bible says it. That's all I need. We accepted God exists. It was a generally known fact because it is a fact. God exists. We just need to do what we're told by him. Otherwise, we could pay a price for it. That was the pre-modern era. Along came a couple of major events that radically altered the way Western civilization thinks. And those two surprising events would be the Protestant Reformation. What? Why did the Protestant Reformation change it? The Protestant Reformation didn't change our pre-modern thinking into modern thinking, where we now believe that man has the answers. The pre-modern world said God has the answers. The modern era says, no, we're going to figure this thing out. And the Protestant Reformation helped to move that process along because the world saw a number of men, rightly so, challenging not God and his word, but challenging the church. And it helped the door to open up into the age of empiricism, where a bunch of godless philosophers tried to present the case God doesn't exist and we, through our senses, can figure this out. The scientific method will help us to know why everything is the way that it is. That would be the age of empiricism. A group of people, not that long afterwards, started going, I don't know, it seems that there's some shortcomings with saying science is always got the answer. So we were then introduced to another chapter. Now, please note, we never leave behind a bad worldview. They tend to build on one another. They tend to be in response to one another. The student always criticizes the teacher and his student criticizes him. We're always changing, morphing, adding, but we rarely leave behind the idea of a particular worldview. And so it is, empiricism was challenged by the age of reason. Logic is going to help us figure out why the world is the way that it is. But in response to that, a group of people said, this all seems so clinical. Where's the human element? Wah and la, you've got yourself the romantic period of philosophical history. Experience, feelings, that's what guides us through an understanding of the world. Give or take 19, there's more chapters in here, but these are the biggies. We see a philosophy introduced in France and Germany in the middle of the 20th century called postmodernism, a deconstructionist time. We've been living with that increasingly for the last, I would say for sure 30 years, that this has been the predominant worldview. God doesn't exist. He doesn't know the truth. Humans They can't know the truth. Therefore, as postmoderns, there is no truth. Or, truth is individualistic. If it feels good, do it. You hear romanticism in that, by the way. And sometimes you'll hear people say or put a yard sign up that says, trust the science. What is that? The age of empiricism, scientific method. So you hear lingering echoes of that era. You also hear logic, reason, well, it just makes sense. We're on the right side of history. What is that? The age of reason. So all of these worldviews now have kind of played a little bit of a role as we turn a chapter in philosophical history. I would like to suggest to you 2020 should be the line that separates where we are at today from postmodernism. Now, please note, postmodernism is alive and well. So also is romanticism, empiricism, the age of reason. We still smell those worldviews wafting in. But I believe, this is my philosophical opinion, that the Western world has changed and turned another chapter. I'm working on a name for this. If you'd like to contribute, I'd love for you to give your input at idea@wretched.org. But I think that we are entering into a new era, and story after story seems to indicate that. For instance, in Canada, you've got Bill C-4. It's a conversion therapy ban. The idea is that according to this bill, which went into effect a few days ago, the Bible's teaching on sexuality and gender is defined as a myth under Canadian law. You can get 5 years if you try to tell your child or parishioner that if they repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, he will forgive them of all of their sins, no matter how grotesque they may have been, because he's that big of a savior. Will he change your passions and desires? Maybe. But progressively, he certainly will. And that is now going to be considered against the law. You can get 5 years for that. What's going on in Canada is going on in the U.S. of A. It's going on in South America. This is being tried in Europe. We are seeing a push to overturn morality. We went from, figuring things out, defining things, the individualistic era that we're currently in. Oh, you've got the sexual revolution thrown in there. I think we've entered into a new phase. And as close as I can come to naming what this new era is, it's I think paganism. We're reverting. We are not moving forward in history. We are not progressing. We are regressing. This is the way that pagans live. That any man can do what is right in his or her own eyes. Sexual liberation, the name has already been used, but that is the tip of the spear. That is what is leading this revolution in thought. I also think the idea of casting off all restraints describes this era. When nobody tells anybody how to live, unless, of course, you can keep me safe. And then I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Just keep me safe. I don't want to be in danger here. Keep me safe. I'll trade everything. Just keep me safe. But I think that the idea, not the particular phrase, but the idea that comes closest to defining and describing the current worldview that you and I are being exposed to constantly is anti-God. It's anti-God. It's not live and let live. It's not whatever you're into. No, no God. And isn't that what is happening with Bill C-4 in Canada? And there's a lot of pastors that are speaking out and going, this is not the way that this place used to operate. I actually thought this was actually quite outstanding. The number of evangelicals that are responding in a prophetic manner going, that is sin, government. It seems that their response had less to do with individual rights as a Canadian. It was more about what you're doing. You are going to be accountable to God for this. Let me take you to Western Carolina University. The resident assistants now have to take mandatory racial and gender sensitivity training. One of the RAs said that we're told that referring to America as a melting pot can be deemed offensive and be interpreted as saying you should assimilate to the dominant culture. Well, that's an interesting conversation, that. But what is going on at this university? They're using gender unicorns to tell the resident assistants everybody has their own gender unicorn, and it can be whatever stripe, whatever color, that whatever the person chooses it to be. What is that? It is a casting off of what is so obvious. Just that there's so clearly our pinks and blues. And underneath it all, in my opinion, this is an anti-God era. And that raises a question. How then do we respond to a world that is not just blasé about God, but absolutely opposed to him, seems to me? It's the very same thing that we should have been saying all along. Law, gospel, Jesus dying on a cross, rising from the dead, repentance, and faith. You got a better name for the era? Send it to idea@wretched.org. But in my opinion, make no mistake about it, we're in one. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Well, what do the gospel, environmentalism, sexuality, agnosticism, and social Darwinism all have in common? They're among the 13 topics covered in Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. With experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arms, Dr. Jason Lyle, and Tom Hammond, among others, Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth will equip you and your kids to defend the Christian faith at school, at work, at the gas station, grocery store, and everywhere in between. Road Trip is also a perfect study to do with others in Sunday school, youth group, small groups, wherever. Just remember to grab the study guide too when picking up your copy of Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. And it's all because of the efforts of our gospel partners that resources like Road Trip to Truth are able to be produced. Would you also prayerfully consider becoming a monthly ongoing gospel partner? Just visit wretched.org/donate to find out all the information you may ever need at becoming a gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable, biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
90.
That's New Year's resolution time. But before you make yours, I have a different type of challenge for you. How about instead of resolving to be a better person this year, you instead commit to leaving a legacy for Christ? And one surefire way you can do just that is by becoming a monthly Wretched Gospel Partner. Currently, Wretched Radio and TV is seen and heard on nearly 1,000 stations combined worldwide. The second season of Road Trip to Truth has just been released with Season 3 in production, solving the God puzzle on its way to 1 million copies distributed and transformed. Our latest TV series highlighting biblical counseling is set to debut later this year. We're striving to reach people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're only able to do that with the support of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider joining us? Just log on to wretched.org/donate to get all of the details. wretched.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. The book of Revelation describes visions given to the Apostle John by Jesus Christ concerning the consummation of history. Its symbolic style makes Revelation a mystery to many. But you can understand much by asking what are the setting and action and who are the characters. When you wonder how it's all going to end, God has given Revelation just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Living in an anti-God world. I hope you're not an anti-God girl or boy or Zed or Zer or Zip or whatever you want. This is Wretched Radio. There is more afoot than what meets the eye. Wow, that illustration kind of got mangled right there. There's more going on, the subtext to what is happening in our world as we see restraints being cast off, the cords of morality being stretched and broken and torn. We see people warring against what should be common sense. And it's not just that they are thinking based on historical philosophies that have no grounding in God's word. No, this is now anti-God. And I think you're going to see more and more and more of this. Would like to share with you more details on the story from Western Carolina University. The resident assistants now need to go through diversity training. And they, not only that, can't stop. They can't be talking about the words Christmas or Easter because of the school's inclusion goals. Huh. So we're going to not pretend, or we're going to pretend that Christmas and Easter don't exist so that people who don't adhere to those worldviews of Jesus Christ being born, dying on a cross, and rising again, so that they can be included. Now, personally, I know this isn't a popular opinion. I'm okay if the entire Western world stopped with Christmas and Easter. Don't give us time off. We Christians will actually take it if we choose to celebrate it and miss work to do so. It's our holiday. It is our worldview. If the world stayed out of it, that'd be fine by me, and that's exactly what they're gunning for here, which is why I believe the new era that we're living in can be deemed some. Maybe we'll come up with a more clever name, like therapeutic moralistic deism. And that was a term that got coined, and it's accurately descriptive of the generation that is like, you know, hey, whatever, invent your thing as long as it makes you feel good. And, you know, do the right thing, basically. It'll make you feel better. Moralistic. Therapeutic. And God, yeah, fine. He's Spinoza's God. Set the place in motion, gave it a spin, sat down in a lazy boy. Now he's just watching the show. Sometimes, when he's not napping. That's the God of Spinoza. And that is the God of this current generation that we live in. But there is more to it now than that. We're moving past, I think, a moralistic therapeutic deism time. And coming up with a name wouldn't be a terrible idea. So an anti-deism, anti-Christ. There you go. There's one that's biblical right there. This is the era of Antichrist. Now, the world isn't going to adopt that moniker, but we should. We're not living in a world where we have competing worldviews. This is a war against God. We don't even want you to use the word Christmas and Easter. That's what they're opposed to here. And we're seeing that in virtually every news story that we read. There's more to it than just changing morality. It's going after the one who has written those rules and those laws. Like to do a hat tip to the pastors up in Canada. Now, I haven't read everything that they've done in response to Bill C-4 flying through the Senate process, the congressional process in Canada. It's going to be signed, no doubt, by Trudeau. And the members of Parliament, that's not Congress or Senate, it's Parliament, they were happy to pass this legislation that says if you're a Christian, you cannot tell somebody that homosexuality or gender confusion is bad and that Jesus Christ can help fix you. I don't even know that this bill would allow you to say he'll forgive you. Whoa. Now, that is a great demonstration of a jurisdiction exceeding its authority. Do you remember? I remember this vividly years ago because it was so striking. This probably goes back at least 15 years ago when spanking was being considered as a terror to children, child abuse, and we should make it illegal. And we'll see that ebb and flow, don't we, regularly? New piece of legislation, got to stop the spanking. And I remember it was John Piper who preached from his pulpit, that's how long ago this was, that if the government mandated today it is illegal to spank your children, he said, I would take my children outside to the streets and spank them publicly. That's a striking way to respond, no pun intended. That's a striking way to respond to the government exceeding its jurisdictional authority. You can't tell us to do that because our Bible says otherwise. You can't tell us how to believe, how to preach, how to create a morals system. It's not your jurisdiction. And I got to tell you, to the credit of the evangelicals that I was reading about, most excellent. This was sent to me, by the way. Stephen, thank you for sending this from Canada. This bill's wording is sufficiently broad to allow for the criminal prosecution of Christians who would speak biblical truth into the lives of those who are in bondage to sexual sins and transgenderism. Even a mother or father who offers kids freedom from these sins through repentance and faith in the gospel could be threatened with 5 years in jail. Whoa. And so a group of evangelicals penned a letter to Parliament. This is the way we should respond to governments who exceed their jurisdictional authority. It is not, maybe they included it in the letter, but there was no petitioning here. They could have, it wouldn't have bothered me to state, hey, you know, historically we've kind of had some rights here. I think that's fine to remind the government of that, because remember, we can petition. We can plead with the government. We can utilize any legal means available to express our dissatisfaction with a law, or these days, mandate. It's fine to do that, but we too have jurisdictional authority limits. We can speak to the government and we can remind them about our rights, but if we're going to deliver a Christian message, not just a Canadian or American message, we must do, well, man, a little something like this from a group of evangelicals responding. It's called the Liberty Coalition Canada. Our King and Head, that's God, is greatly displeased with our MPs for their sinful disregard for the spiritual and eternal well-being of Canadians. It is important to note that they have also committed high blasphemy by referring to biblical teaching as myths in this legislation. We all, therefore, tremble to consider what terrifying judgments will be visited upon our nation for this bold gesture of hatred toward the Most High God. That's exactly what this is. That is precisely what we are seeing in Canada and elsewhere. And these evangelicals have identified that. That is why we are living in an anti-Christ world, not postmodern, anti-Christ. They've sorted through their postmodernism to conclude there's no truth, except there's definitely not that truth, which, of course, we know is a truth claim. Why? Because ideology trumps now. That was not a political commentary. Ideology will supersede decision making. If you've seen this, by the way, in some of the news stories that you've been reading, you go, well, wait a second, government, what are you doing? This is terrible for children. Ideology. We don't care about the effects. These are our values, and the values are anti-God. Salute to the Liberty Coalition of Canada for delivering a Christian response to sinful behavior on part of the government. That should be our message. The Reverend Dr. Aaron Rock of Harvest Bible Church in Windsor, Ontario, said, in Canada, the teachings of both basic biology and the Bible are now myths, according to Bill C-4. This isn't about protecting people from harm. It's about the state playing the role of God. Amen. There it is. That is exactly what is happening. Dr. Joseph Boot, I will not comply with this law as a Christian leader. I cannot comply. I sure do appreciate that phrasing. Didn't say I'm going to revolt. Didn't say I'm going to resist. I can't comply when we don't want to do what the government says they want us to do because King Jesus has ruled otherwise. We don't comply. Heads up, January 16th has been deemed Biblical Sexuality Sermon Sunday in Canada. A bunch of American pastors joining in too. What's happening? You're supposed to preach about biblical sexuality from the pulpit. The Christian response to sinful behavior in the government needs to keep in mind what is going on. This goes way past Constitution. This is about eternity. This is about God. And this is about who rules, man or God. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which poll is your favorite? You heard those words clearly, despite the fact that I had my tongue in my cheek. Sarcastically, we are going to play which poll is your favorite? That's more sarcastic, Friel. Representing the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program, our very own federal head, Jimmy Hicks. Are you prepared for your most serious responsibility, sir?
I am.
Remember, your decisions affect everyone.
Wow.
That's how federal headship works.
True.
So you kind of are like a third Adam, if you will.
Okay.
Federal head started in the garden, Adam's decision. We kind of feel those reverberations, don't we? And so these polls indicate. Which one is your favorite, Jimmy? Let's start out with fentanyl. Winning the poll, number one for death rate among people between the ages of 18 and 45. That's an interesting trend. Don't know if you realize this, but fentanyl has taken the lead, killed more Americans in 2020 than car accidents, gun violence, breast cancer, and suicide. So we don't even have the suicide numbers included in the fentanyl statistic. It's number one. A lot of people taking their lives, and most certainly a lot of people escaping. Question, why? We should ask the question. Anytime we see a trend, something surprising in culture, we do well to stop from a biblical perspective and ask the question, what's going on here? I think it's pretty obvious. People are struggling. They always have been. They always will be. But it would appear the pandemic isn't helping much. This is from Fox News. 79,000 people between 2020 and 21 died from fentanyl overdose between the ages of 18 and 45, a younger demographic. Why? Well, there were 53,000 COVID deaths among those between the ages of 18 and 49, according to the Center of Disease Control. So fentanyl's whooping COVID. You don't hear much about fentanyl. You hear plenty about COVID. More people dying from fentanyl overdoses than dying from COVID. And the experts believe there's a connection between the impact of the coronavirus pandemic and the recent increase in fentanyl overdoses. Why? Worry, anxiety, concerned about the future. They are being forced to stay in their homes. And if you live in the state of Washington, hey, it's getting fun up there, isn't it? Jimmy, have they passed that deal where if you don't have yourself a vaccination passport, you go into the internment camp?
Yeah, I think they, I'm not sure if it's officially passed, but they sure are trying hard.
They're trying really, really hard. Now, that's not depressing for anybody. That's not, that doesn't have any sort of impact on human beings, does it? Why? Why do people use fentanyl to cope? Same reason people use pot. Same reason that people use alcohol. Same reason that people use peanut M&Ms. Same reason that people use Netflix. All of those are mechanisms for coping. Just saw a movie about Prime Minister Thatcher the last few years. We're very current in the Friel household. This was a flick from 2012. Just staying up with things, Jimmy. Want to be right there on the cutting edge of evangelical movie watching. And we saw Prime Minister Thatcher's demise. I don't think the movie was intended to be a friendly. It was more like she sure got her comeuppance, didn't she? Just the same, it was interesting that throughout the movie, people ran to Hooch for comfort. Dennis, the husband of Margaret Thatcher. This is the one scene that I remember, but there were several. They received some bad news. It didn't look like she was going to be able to stand for office. In other words, she wasn't going to be the endorsed candidate for office. And so Dennis said, I need a drink. Margaret Thatcher, when she was being confronted by her cabinet with the bad news, we don't think you're electable this round. After the first meeting, Margaret Thatcher said to her, apparently, I don't want to use an offensive name like assistant, because that word could be considered bad these days. I'm going to need a drink for this. And what do you get? Just straight alcohol into a glass. Why? Because people use these things to cope. And if we are seeing a greater demand for drugs, especially wicked ones like fentanyl, that means people aren't just hurting. They're really hurting. They're really needy. They really need truth in their lives. And here sits the church. We've got what they need, which means even though we do not like this statistic, we can look at this and say, hey, there's an opportunity to talk to people. There's an opportunity to share the gospel, not in a Babylon Bee kind of way, because that wasn't sharing the gospel. That was merely to sow seeds of confusion for the poor man that they were interviewing. No, we can share the gospel, the good news. The gospel is not come to Jesus, you'll kick your fentanyl habit. Granted, you're going to go to war against it and you're going to have increasing victory, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is, you know, your sin of fentanyl, Jesus will forgive it. You know, your sin of anxiety and depression that has been motivated because of a lack of trust in God, then Jesus will forgive you. You know, all that pornography you've been looking at online, Jesus will forgive you. You know, that wicked deed that you did to somebody, Jesus will forgive that. You know, the abortion that you had, Jesus will forgive that. Come to Jesus. You need Jesus to have your sins forgiven. And his saving goodness is so great and expansive that it will cover your sins, whatever they happen to be. That's the gospel. Then we can apply biblical truth to somebody's life. That's the way biblical counseling works. Somebody's got to be saved for biblical counseling to work, because biblical counseling goes beyond behavioral modification. Biblical counseling doesn't want to clean the outside of the cup. Biblical counseling wants to get to the heart of the issue. And if somebody isn't saved, they can use the principles of Christianity and have a somewhat better life. It's true. These are the spiritual, metaphysical laws of God, the way that he operates the universe. If you get married, stay married, work hard, study. Overall, things are going to go better for you. That's just the way the universe operates. But if you want genuine emotional healing, If you do not want to be afraid of the future, well, you need to be born again. It is a fruit of the gospel. And as long as we're talking about biblical counseling, Friel, you're the only one doing the talking here. As long as I'm talking about biblical counseling, want to remind you, Transformed is our new TV series. It will be coming out in April. We watched 4 or 5 episodes last Friday to proof them, to make editorial comments on them. Oh, I can't wait for you to see it. It is so good. It is so helpful for people who are watching. You want to hear the inside scoop on Transformed? Jimmy, don't tell anybody I said this.
Okay, or I won't.
Transformed, it's a TV series. We're gonna be producing a DVD with it, stream, download, all of that stuff, and a workbook to go with it so you can use it in Sunday school. It looks like it's a show on biblical counseling. Do you know what this show actually is?
What?
Preaching. Mm. That's really what it is. But it just doesn't feel that way because you are seeing Dr. Greg Gifford counsel somebody biblically, which means all he's doing is spewing theology from a chair. He's preaching. It's compelling. It is engaging. And it shows the power of the Bible to help people with their issues. In fact, I can tell you right now, there was a person, you'll see it for yourself. There was a person who was overusing alcohol, smoking pot on a daily basis. Did biblical counseling with Dr. Greg Gifford, one session, and we encouraged her to get plugged into a local church, and we connected her with a biblical counselor. Let's just say sobriety is the new pattern in her life, and family dynamic changed because they are regularly going to church. That's the power of biblical counseling. That is what the world needs. They need salvation first, biblical counseling second. Now, you can use biblical counseling in an effort to get somebody saved, but if the person is persistent in willful rebellion, biblical cut your session short. Because without salvation, biblical counseling doesn't work. And if I could do a shout out, if you are interested in helping other people by being willing to be a bit vulnerable to sharing what your struggle is, sin struggle, emotional struggle, we'd love to talk to you to see if you could be a part of season 2 of Transformed. You can learn more about the casting process, wretched.org/casting, wretched.org/casting. You will be helped and you will be helping others. Wretched.org/casting. This is Wretched Radio. Good news, there are actually thousands of pastors in Germany. The bad news is they're not very equipped.
Theological training in Germany and in Europe is so needed because you don't really get any formal training, not in a church or anywhere else. Being at a PMAI training center, probably the first time that you ever get any formal training, how to understand scripture, the church, and how to apply it in your own life.
Germany is not the only nation that has a drought of qualified pastors, but the Masters Academy International is changing that, one country at a time, currently in 17 nations, with mini seminaries, with graduates from the Master's Seminary, training indigenous men to rightly divide the word of truth. Would you please consider adopting your own seminary in one of 17 nations? Please visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, thank you for listening and supporting our efforts to reach the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're appreciative of your support and time and never take either for granted. Both are valuable resources that we're all called to steward carefully. And considering our time, I know as truth seekers, sometimes we can have the tendency to shy away from wasting it and spending a lot of it on things that are fictional. I know that's certainly true of my walk. I've never given a lot of my time over to reading fiction. That is until Todd recommended a book by Randy Alcorn called Safely home. As I begin to read Safely Home, honestly, I couldn't put it down. And though the study and characters are fictional, the depiction of life for Christians in communist China is very much accurate. This book will help reorganize your theology and enhance your walk. Grab your copy of Randy Alcorn's Safely Home now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Permit me to introduce you to Bree and Salvation Dominoes. Preborn style.
When one person gets saved, they have that burning desire to just make him known the same way that was made known to them. And then it's just this domino effect.
Bree currently volunteers at a preborn life center. How did she get saved? From a friend whose mother got saved at, you guessed it, a preborn life center. Why? Because preborn, it is indeed about saving babies' lives via $28 ultrasounds, but it is also sharing the gospel so that moms and dads get saved. And look at the domino effect. Would you please consider supporting preborn centers with as many free ultrasounds as you can? $28 for an ultrasound 80% of the time saves a life. Learn more at preborn.org/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Come on down!
This is Wretched Radio in the throes. I think that would be the right phrase. In the throes of an exciting round of which poll is your favorite? He asked sarcastically. Jimmy, we've only heard one story, so if you'd pick up the pace a little bit, that would be great. The number one cause of death for those aged 18 to 45, fentanyl overdoses. Jimmy, isn't that the drug that if you just, like, you touch it, it can kill you?
Yes, that's what I've heard.
Oofta.
Yeah.
Nasty, nasty business. And it is indicative of a very hurting world. If you go to a university campus, you could find a lot of kids that are struggling emotionally. You could talk to them. You could share the gospel. You could give them, I don't know, solving the God puzzle, available at wretched.org/puzzle at no cost to you, including shipping. How many copies will you give away? We'll send them to you. No charge, wretched.org/puzzle. Story number two, survey says, the fastest growing U.S. religious affiliation is nothing. None. Zip zero. They don't believe anything. Solving the God puzzle goes right after these people, by the way. Pew Research poll indicates the number of people in the U.S. who describe themselves as religiously unaffiliated increased by 6 points in the last 5 years, 10 points in the last decade. We are living in a post-Christian world. It's now an anti-God world. These people, they haven't gone all the way, but they have. They've simply deluded themselves into saying, well, you know, not sure, agnostic. No, that's your anti-God. He who is not for Jesus is against Jesus. You have to be full-throated. Yes, he's my savior and rock. Anything short of that, you're opposed to him. Increasing numbers are 29% of respondents said that none, meaning they're atheists, nothing in particular, could be agnostic. It is going up. That's survey number two, Jimmy. You got fentanyl. You got Christianity is on the wane, atheism and agnosticism on the ascendancy.
You're going to have to do better than that.
Which one's your favorite, Jimmy? Here's story number three. This may or may not be it. Less than half of Americans, specifically 41% and 63% of church-going Christians believe Jesus existed before Christmas. Now, that sort of sounds decent because 63% of church-going Christians believe that the incarnate Christ was pre-existent from all of eternity. But that means 37% don't. And 59% of Americans across the board don't. I'll tell you, it's funny. I was listening to, well, I was reading David Platt's remarks at the Passion Conference in Atlanta, telling kids, hey, you got to be concerned about the people overseas. And we should be. We are. We are here at Wretched Radio. We promote the Masters Academy International, for instance, little mini seminaries. Pastors who have been trained at the Master Seminary in Los Angeles return to their country in their native language, knowing the customs, and they open up little mini seminaries to equip pastors to rightly divide the word of truth so that the global church can be strengthened. We are indeed concerned about people internationally, and everybody should take a look and see, what can I do to help? For instance, you could help the Master's Academy International. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor. But you can do that right from your home. You see, the problem with telling everybody to become a missionary is that there will be nobody here. And there would be nobody to support the Master's Academy International. This partnership that Paul described in Philippians 1, I think verse 6. When he thought about the Philippian people, your partnership with me, not in building homes, not in feeding programs, but your participation, your partnership with me in sharing the gospel. Does that mean that they all traveled around the Mediterranean with Paul? No. It means they supported him. Prayers, financially. He never told them, you got to get out of Philippi. Everybody's got access to the gospel there. And that's what David Platt said. Everybody's got access to the gospel in America. No, the gospel is available on the internet around the globe. You got the internet. That's how the gospel is available. It's the preaching of the gospel and the evangelizing with the gospel that gets people saved. And that has been done woefully in America. Didn't we hear a demonstration of that yesterday with Elon Musk? That the gospel is a dog's breakfast when it gets presented? Most people in this country, they do not know the gospel, and they certainly do not know the divine Christ. And this poll, it sure shows it. That's number three. Jimmy, ready for number four?
Oh, there's more.
Oh, I've got your reports right here. I've got your surveys and statistics. I know you love numbers.
I do.
The majority of millennials report frequently feeling depressed, anxious, or fearful. 54% admitted to frequently feeling anxiety, depression, or fear. It's another reason we're doing transformed. I think the overwhelming majority out of the 13 people that are going to be in transformed, they dealt with this issue and they identified it on their personal data inventory. That would be your PDI, listing all of the issues that we could potentially struggle with. People are not knowing how to cope with anxiety and depression. And if they're going to a university, they're getting the opposite of it. The universities have become so Freudian. Oh, it troubles you. It bothers you. Just do it more. And your conscience will stop. You won't feel that ache any longer. Just keep doing it. Don't worry about it. That's what students are getting these days. And We Have the Words of Life would encourage you, if you're near a university campus, could you bring hope to these students? They are plagued with self-doubt, said the researcher, and they deeply desire to be a part of a community that knows, appreciates, and respects them. Jimmy, would you do me a favor, please?
Okay.
Could you Google an entity, a community that knows, appreciates, and respects people? Maybe we could find some help for these folks. If there's any sort of institution or organization that offers community, that appreciates them, that knows them and loves them. See if you can think of any entity that might have those qualities where we could send these people who are struggling with their emotional issues.
Okay.
Get back to me on that, would you?
I'm on it.
Mm-hmm. Most of the generation say they are dissatisfied with their intimate and peer relationships. In fact, when it comes to relationships, they avoid conflict and have a hard time trusting others. World is hurting. Remember, the gospel isn't come to Jesus, you'll stop hurting. That is a fruit of the gospel. But we can carefully bring that message to people who are hurting. This needs to be done carefully. in presenting the gospel fully, law, gospel, repentance, faith. That's the gospel. Jesus died for sinners, not to make you feel better per se, not for the purpose of you not struggling with anxiety, but that's a fruit of that good news of the gospel. And he goes to work on those things in your heart and in your life. But let's not use the fruit as a draw card to salvation. Jesus is the draw card. If people come seeking the benefits, they are not going to receive the one who offers them. If they come seeking the gifts and not the giver, they will not be saved. The gospel is Jesus died for sinners, but the effect is you are going to have a more abundant life. You're going to have a more joyful life. And by the way, did I just give you a little bit of the hives when I said that Jesus offers an abundant life? Boy, hey, you're not becoming one of those. No, I'm not. But Jesus did offer an abundant life, didn't he? It doesn't mean everything is rosy. It means that it is well with our souls. Jimmy, did you find any institution that could handle a lot of people who are hurting in a place where there's community and love amongst them?
I found two.
Oh, two of them.
Yeah, street gangs, like the Bloods, the Bloods and the Crips.
That's true, isn't it?
Or the church.
The church?
Yeah.
That's crazy that we've got all of these institutions already built where people could find that. I guess if they just knew about them, maybe they'd be interested. And finally, survey says number five, they polled Christian colleges. Over 100 Christian colleges have ties to Planned Parenthood to varying degrees. There are 700 and some Christian colleges, and 100 of them, well, guess what? They somehow have a tie to Planned Parenthood, 784 Christian colleges. Not if you're promoting or endorsing or advising people to go to Planned Parenthood. All right, Jimmy, story one, fentanyl. Fastest growing religious affiliation, nuns. That's number two. Kids, less than half of Americans understand who Jesus is. Millennials are depressed. Christian colleges, 100 of them, they're endorsing Planned Parenthood. Which, hold on.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
Here it is. The verdict is rendered. Which one, Jimmy?
Story number two.
Story number two.
The fastest growing U.S. religious affiliation is nothing.
Terrific. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.